Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's Thursday, it's the Luke and Pete Show, 28th of October, we are almost at Halloween. Are you feeling spooky, Luke? Spooky Lukey?
It'll be the 27th, mate, not the 20th.
Oh, okay, well I didn't write 27th on the old running order, somebody
asked. Oh, actually, no, it won't, it'll be the 28th, sorry, it's in the running order, the 28th.
Okay, cool, yeah, I mean that's what I said, so I'm unrepentant
about the whole thing.
No, it's the 28th, didn't I?
Oh, sorry, mate. Sorry, I thought it was the 20th,
Lukey,
which really confused me.
Lukey Moore trying to give me some curveballs. You're worse than... I was going to say something terrible then. I'm not going to say that terrible
You're
thing.
You're worse than
I'm going to introduce people to the Luke and Pete Show. It's a chance to just kick back and, you know, talk to your boys, Luke and Pete, about anything.
Yeah.
Train enthusiasts, roller coaster enthusiasts. If you're enthusiastic about something, even if it's... Dad Karate, we want to hear from you. Hello to LukePeteShow.com. But Lukey Moore, how are you?
I'm good. The only type of karate I'm interested in is Dad Karate. I think there should be a lot more dojos in suburban towns.
Dad-jos.
Men should go there. They should get subsidies to go there. I think the government should give them tax breaks for going there. I think they should all be given their own kimonos and play with nunchucks together. That are the padded ones so no one gets hurt. And the world would be a better place if more dads did some kind of kung fu like they did in the 80s.
Look, I just think... I completely agree. I completely concur, Luke. Because thinking about it, we talk a lot about, you know, mental ill health and how, you know, it's good to talk and time to talk and change and all that stuff. But I think one kind of aspect of that should be provisions for dad karate. Men of advancing years...
Yeah,
maybe they've had a terrible few years at work and they just want to do some karate. Give these dads their dojos, for crying out loud.
Do you know what I'd ban from them as well? I'd ban any man who is under 50.
Yeah.
And I would ban any man who is in... I'd have to get the kind of the parameters in place and think about it a bit more. But any man who's basically in too good shape wouldn't be able to go.
Yes, exactly. You've got to
They've got their spaces.
You've got the gyms for that.
Yeah,
for your peacocking. No, we want men who are overweight getting into and their black belts will really be holding everything in. To be quite frank, I mean it's you need
and
that.
If you're balding, you get a badge.
Yes, it reminds me of Daniel Pout's dad, who was called Ken, and he was a karate master, and we used to call him Kendo, and he looked hard. He was a hard, mustachioed, spectacled man. He looked a little too short for the military. I don't think you'll get away with being quite that short in the 70s, but he looked absolutely rough and tough. And
what stuff did he used to do?
Where he was, they were, what are the ones that, they were Mormons, and so...
He's a Mormon karate master.
He was this Mormon
like
karate
a fucking movie.
Dude. You just assume that, like, people who are very religious, and they were very religious, couldn't do, like, you
it's
know, couldn't get into
violence,
karate.
Surely.
Exactly. But all I remember from Daniel Pout is he once had... probably talked about this on the show before, as all of my stories are. He had like a bogey up his nose that was completely, he'd completely filled his nose with bogey, and I'd never seen anything like it, and I still think about it every day. And because
why
he was Mormon.
Why did he just blow his nose?
I don't know. Because he was Mormon, I think it was Mormon, he wasn't allowed any drugs, so when he had hay fever, they had these kind of like, they were fake tablets, like placebos basically, or what do you call it? You know, very diluted version or whatever the bollocks it is. it's kind of like he just had like jars of these kind of like tablets that didn't do anything. So he would just pop them in the classroom as he was just, you know, his eyes were streaming and his nose was streaming. It's yeah, it's all.
That's an incredible amount of information to unpack there. But I'm gonna do my best. So
yeah.
Your mate and your mate's dad, they're in a family. They're Mormons. Mm. The dad is a karate master.
Yeah.
But the son isn't. Does the son do karate?
The son does Mormon more than... He didn't do any karate.
Yeah, but not karate.
He moved out to America to be the best Mormon he could be. And
but can he blow his nose?
I don't know whether he blew his nose, but he won't probably thank me for saying this, and he'll never hear this, but when he was a kid, he had a big forehead, so he was called Tifa. Because that was just, you know, that was... Unfortunately, kids who had big foreheads back in the day, people used to take the mick out of, because it was there was an advert for a kettle or a toaster made by the company Tefal, where they had a lot of boffins, like scientists researching the technology, and they had big foreheads, so he was called Tefal. Tefal head.
Yeah.
Quite upsetting, really. I know quite a lot about Daniel Pout.
Yeah, you do. You've kept this like under a bushel for far too long. Yeah. And so you don't see dads doing kung fu now. You don't see this kind of stuff happening. I told you once I got chased by Barry Stafford's dad down the back alleyway, which sounds like a euphemism, but it's not. I literally mean that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if dads chase kids now, do they?
I think kids would be more likely to challenge authority. You'd be chasing.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, because you'd just stop and turn around and go, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do, chasing dad? What are you going to beat me up? I'm a child. What's wrong with you?"
Yeah. And the thing is, I can see both sides, really, because there's no way a dad is chasing like a 10-year-old for 100 metres because the 10-year-old has. You know, a little bit of a dust-up with his son, right? It just doesn't happen in 2021. But at the same time, I do think about that probably every couple of weeks. So obviously it had a bit of an effect on me. And
getting chased by
a
dad.
But I was absolutely shitting myself. There's no way I would have stopped and said, "What are you doing?" Because I genuinely thought he might fucking give me a slap, right?
Get
the only
together,
reason he
Keith.
Didn't is because my other friend's mum, who's kind of the matriarch of the area... neighbourhood came out and told him to stop being so stupid and stop picking on little kids and all the rest of it, because I think my dad was at work. So I got away with it for that reason. But so on one hand, I don't like the fact that kids challenge authority all the time now, because I think it's lippy. But on the other hand, I mean, it was quite debilitating.
Yeah, they should, I mean, at no point should you have been chased physically by a grown man. I just don't think that's allowed.
No, and
however
thing-
lippy or terrible you were.
No, I agree, although I was pretty lippy. And I did remember giving him what was probably the most 80s insult ever, when you probably won't remember this, or you wouldn't have any interest in it, but there used to be these three cars that were produced back then, an Austin Metro, an Austin Maestro, and an Austin Montego, right?
Right. Allegro?
The Montego was the big one. The Maestro was the middle one, and the Metro was like the small mini one, right? So the Metro would be like the car you've got now.
Right.
And for me, as a 10-year-old who didn't really like anything about cars or know anything about it, I just thought the bigger the car, the better, right?
Yeah.
So part of the reason that the dad didn't like me is because I regularly used to cheekily take the piss out of him for having an Austin Maestro, whereas the next-door neighbour had an Austin Montego. So I think at the time I didn't realise, but that sowed the seeds for the contempt that he had for me. And then when I had the fight with his son, that was very much the Archduke Franz Ferdinand shooting trigger event for the First World War, and it all went absolutely insane from then on. And I genuinely felt like I couldn't really go out of the house for a couple of weeks after that.
Because you'd taken the piss out of a man's whip. Fantastic.
He's Austin Maestro.
He clearly had problems, but he clearly had inferiority complex about the car that he drove, which is, I think, is fascinating for a grown man to have.
Yeah, but he also had an unstated disability, which I never used to take the piss out of him for, because I was like brought up with properly. But I think he probably, looking back on it, I think he had a lot of pent up kind of anger about that.
Right. But
anyway, so like it was pretty full on. It was like a pretty full on couple of weeks. I think that was the same summer that the lads on the street went to Monk's Walk, which is a park, kind of a park thing near where we lived, and found like 50 porn mags.
Oh, mate, what a trove.
Yeah, so it was like a pretty full on, like, dramatic couple of weeks, you know.
Sexy, horny. There was probably a lot of horse trading going on when you found the magazines as well. Wow, what a summer.
Luke, I was too terrified to take ownership of any of them. But it was also the same summer where this kid a few doors down from me called Craig had the piss taken out of him by some lads. And his dad, who was fucking hard, he was a Marine and he had a moustache. Yeah. He came back from work and found out about it. We didn't know he'd found out about it. And right. The aforementioned on Monday, Paul Button, was in his go-kart. And the dad picked Paul up in the go-kart and threw the go-kart with Paul in it.
Okay, what, for having pornos?
No, for taking the piss out of his son.
Oh, right, okay, sorry, I can cut.
And that was really annoying. That was really annoying because a week or so before that, Craig's dad had built a basketball net for us with a proper basketball net and backboard put onto a really solid piece of wood which was stuck into a bucket with a lot of concrete in it.
Right. Oh, so solid construction didn't fall over.
So we couldn't use that anymore.
You had no basketball privileges because you took the mick out of his son.
It wasn't actually me, but yeah, I was present. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, dear Lord.
So that's a trip down memory lane. That's what it was like growing up in Gosport in the 80s.
Dark.
Pete, before
absolutely
we go to
chilling
a break... you've shared a link about a film called Theirs is the Glory and you've not explained that to me, so I'd love to know what that's all about.
So my mate Ed, I think he occasionally listens to the show, basically told me about this film that is just sounds absolutely fascinating. Basically back in the... Let's have a look here. You know, like A Bridge Too Far, Richard Attenborough did the film in 1977 about the Battle of Arnhem.
Yeah.
Back in the day. There's another film about that battle. It's got a really small budget. It's all black and white. Not nearly as well known. I'm basically reading out Ed's text here, but he does it beautifully, so it's better than I could explain it. No major film stars in it, because every person in this film, the film Theirs is the Glory, is... a parachute regiment veteran who actually took part in that battle.
Wow.
Like,
that's the last thing they need, isn't it?
It was made 2 years after the actual battle, on location, where the town of Arnhem is still in ruins. The graves with wooden crosses and helmets are still there. This video's on YouTube. I've sort of skimmed through it and stuff. I mean, the acting isn't amazing, but it was 2 years after the fucking event, and none of them were actors. They were all people who were fucking there, risking their lives 2 years before. Did anyone have any kind of concept of PTSD? Like,
it's the last thing they need.
Do you want to go back to where your mates died?
Look at it the other way. Do they possibly? And I wouldn't dare to be able to speak to this accurately, of course. But would it be cathartic for some of them?
Look, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, so I couldn't possibly speculate. Maybe there might be something to that, but you know, in a particularly bloody battle, it just cannot.
Apparently, raised a lot of money for charity for veterans and stuff, and it was.
Yeah,
I think that was certainly. It seems like, I mean, I'm literally firing out about it for the first time here, but that looks like it was at least. However naive, certainly the intention. But that is insane. I'm definitely going to watch that. I've never heard of it.
It's amazing. And bless the brave directors. And the director was a veteran of that battle, I believe. 82 minutes runtime. So, look, you can go and watch your Dunes for 3 hours, your Villeneuve's. You can watch your films at the cinema, your James Bond's. Or you can watch a bit of that for 82 minutes.
Maybe do both.
Maybe.
There's nowhere to go after that, so we're going to have to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to do your battery brands and we'll squeeze in a few of your emails as well. Mm. So don't go away. We'll see you in a moment.
Perfecto.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This is Detective Abberline.
Hearing you, Abberline. Go ahead.
We've got the body of a male on Durwood Street, Whitechapel, just behind the Tube, a Mark Allen Nichols. His throat has been cut, a stab wound below his shoulder blade, and,
Continue, please, Detective.
Yeah, she's cut off his knob and put his bollocks in the recycling bins.
Stack presents a thrilling new audio fiction.
She cut his throat, unbollocked the guy, and decocked him for good measure.
The body of a man brutally murdered in Whitechapel was discovered this morning.
That was Jackie's way. Evil, bloodthirsty, sexually explicit, and just, yeah, just bloody horrible, really. Step into the scene. Me, yours truly, moi, that's, me, lead detective, Freddie Abberline of Scotland Yard.
There is a man next to us who has been brutally murdered and dismembered.
We'll go and find his member then. Jesus Christ. Oh, but we've kept his AirPods in, I see. What's he listening to? Death metal? Zombie Nation?
Follow me as I hunt the most vicious serial killer known to man. Good Lord, she stuffed his eye sockets with his own bollocks.
Jackie the Ripper. The infamous Whitechapel murders. Retold. By the makers of The Offensive. Available now on all podcast platforms.
Sorry, Sally, I got your shoes. Ah, it's my Wagamama from earlier. Let's have a closer look.
Looks like noodles.
Nope, him.
Jackie the Ripper. Hold on to your bollocks.
It's Thursday on the Luke and Pete Show, so we are talking battery brands and also other emails unrelated to batteries. You don't always have to send stuff in about batteries. Send us anything. We are dad stuff. Have you ever been in a war? Hello at LukeandPeteShow.com or at Luke and Pete Show on Twitter. Battery brands, Luke. We got a couple of like messages that kind of give it, you know, flesh out the figure, flesh out the core a little bit of the batteries. Dino Paverley has come in with a Tinko Super Alkaline, which 100% sounds like a basic bitch early episode of Luke and Pete battery brand that's been sent in 427 times already, but I live in hope. Luke, have you got the emails open or do I need to do
I'll
it?
I'll check it for you now.
Lovely old job.
I'm absolutely convinced there's no chance that's a new player though.
Tinko Super Alkaline. Yeah, could we possibly have experienced a Tinko that wasn't a Super Alkaline before? That's the question.
The most recent Tinko has been sent in on July 22nd by Chris Shaw. We've also had it in by Chris Small. Bashar also sent one in back in 2018, and the first time we got it was actually in November 2017. So I'm sorry to say, Dino, you have not entered a new player into the game.
Sorry, Dino, that's terrible news. Hello to Martin in Shrewsbury in the UK. Hi there, Luke and Pete. I ordered a new smart TV a few days ago from a well-known catalogue shopping store. I was to pick it up next day from my local outlet. As I'm sure you can appreciate, for the 24 hours prior to the pickup, I was genuinely excited as to what new brand of batteries I might discover when I unwrap the TV remote and accessories bag. Imagine my disappointment when I found a pair of Commodore Garden Bexel AAs. I love my new TV. The world in 4K is a revelation, but I can't help but feel I've let us all down when I had the rare opportunity to enter a new player into the game. All I could do is apologise and supply you with a picture of the offending Bexels for your record. And then he comes back like seconds later. Dear, the Luke and the Pete, further to my tale of battery disappointment, I may have unearthed my redemption. I've just found a pair of P-O-E-A-E... AAAs hiding my hi-fi amp remote. Hopefully a new player, but don't ask me how it's pronounced. Is it Poie or Pia? Fingers crossed, Martin, Shrewsbury, UK, P-O-E-A-E. Is it a new player, Luke Moore?
So I'll take the Bexels first. You are, Martin, the 35th separate person to send in Bexel, so you're right at the bottom of the list there. But
Jesus.
The later mentioned... I would call them Poirier. I would say Poirier.
Mm.
That is, I'm delighted to say, a new player. So all is not lost, Martin. You have successfully entered a new player to the game. Welcome aboard, Poiriers.
Martin, congratulations. You can enjoy the rich... high dynamic resolution and 4K pixel count of your new television, but have a clear conscience on that you've helped out the Luke and Pete show. And finally for now, we got one from Megan Corey from New Jersey. Hi guys, recently had to buy a new digital thermometer and found these inside. Have we had Andali Alkaline? A-N-D-A-L-I Alkaline.
Just checking now. I am absolutely delighted to tell you we've had several Alkaline batteries before, but we've never had an Andali Alkaline. So that is the second new player of the week. Well done, Megan. Shout out to you.
Come on, mate.
Amazing contribution. That will go some way towards softening the blow that you live in New Jersey.
Don't ever go to New Jersey.
I'm only joking. Sorry, it's very nice. It's Jersey City. It's not very nice.
Crying out loud. We got a message, an email, if you will, from Daniel from New York. Have we done the email entitled Shitting in a Michelin?
No, we haven't.
Right. This has been on the runner for a little while. Hi, chaps. Long-time Ramble listener. First-time emailer into the Luke and Pete Show. I thought I'd write in regarding the subject of soiled pants. Always.
Nice.
We always require these emails.
I've soiled mine now.
Now in 2016, I took a 3 months long backpacking trip through South America. Having worked in Michelin starred fine dining restaurants throughout uni and having just written a dissertation on cookbooks and the indigenous people in Argentina, I was and still am what you would call a foodie. So throughout this trip, I'd stay in the dodgiest and cheapest hostels you could find to save money. It's more fun anyway because there's always a party and cheap beers available, only to spend it in all the fanciest restaurants around town to experience high cuisines of the region. Now, while in Lima, I had a reservation to dine at Central, one of the most highly acclaimed restaurants in the world by Chef Virgilio Martinez, I think you say his first name like that, serving an inspired tasting menu that highlights the biodiversity of Peru. I'd been up late the night before, awkwardly dancing away at a local nightclub, and had stumbled to bed after a few too many bottles of Cusco. I woke up mid-afternoon feeling hungover and queasy in my stomach, as you do, but I got dressed quickly in the excitement to dine at Central. I caught a cab, drove across town, and as I was leaving the car, thought I was letting loose a little gas. I wasn't. I had shat my pants. A violent squirt of diarrhea right in front of the best restaurant in South America. I froze. Thinking about my next course of action, I could head back to the hostel, change out of my soiled pants and return to Central. However, considering the distance between the restaurant and the hostel, that would put me an hour late to my reservation. Not to be rude, I pushed through. That was the problem, pushing through.
Yeah, poor choice of words.
I entered the restaurant, checked in for my reservation with a gracious maitre d', and asked for the restroom before I got seated. In the toilet, I took off my soiled underpants, threw it into the trash can in shame, fought through another bout of diarrhea, and eventually returned to my table, sans the poopy pants. The meal was exquisite, by the way, but my experience at the Central will always be tainted. And it was the taint that was clearly the problem at times, by this unfortunate unfortunate incident. Daniel from New York, he also wants to become the official sommelier for the Luke and Pete show. Can we really trust him?
Yeah.
Can we really trust him?
If we were on the lookout for an official sommelier of the Luke and Pete show, and I do like kind of learning about wine and hearing about it and tasting it and all that good stuff as I get older, I don't know if the first port of call will be someone who shits themselves a lot.
Yeah. I mean, because if you think you can get away with styling out pants full of poop at the poshest restaurant, the best restaurant in all of South America, I don't think your nose is up to scratch. Because you'll be like, cause you should be able to smell that, to be quite frank. But
so should they.
So they, should they.
They should should be thinking, Central should be thinking, OK, this man's got a reservation. We're probably going to get X amount of money out of him. But are we going to pollute the entire dining room to the point where no one's going to come back? I think they've been very lenient there, because you're talking about people in that profession who have exquisite palates and exquisite noses. They're going to smell you a mile off. So I don't know you've got away with that, to be honest.
I think the maitre d' probably thinks, look, he may have shat his pants, but it does mean his belly is completely empty. So
he can eat more food.
He can have loads more food than what a normal man could manage, to be quite frank.
But not if it's a tasting menu where everyone gets the same anyway.
That's a good point. I mean, just amazing. Just amazing.
Imagine
stuff.
Would you like to see my tasting menu? No, thank you very much. You cannot be trusted, Daniel. But I do appreciate your honesty. I'll give you a lot of credit for your honesty there, because that's not an easy thing to divulge. And you've kept your name in there. You didn't censor yourself like a lot of people do.
Yeah. Good on you.
So there we go. I've got an email here from Shannon from Perth. And I want to read it out partly because it's great to hear from someone from Perth in Western Australia, which I believe is the most isolated city in the world. I think that's the fact, isn't it? And I've never been. A lot of pearl farming there, I think. Anyway, I digress.
From?
Maybe Shannon from Perth can confirm or deny that. He says, hi, guys. Greetings from lovely Perth. By the way, Shannon's probably not necessarily a guy, so I apologise for that. Whoever you are, thank you very much for emailing in. They say, a while back, came across an article of animals people thought they could beat in a fist fight. Right? As the headline said, 10% of people, so 1 in 10, thought they could beat a lion. Right?
What?
39% surveyed didn't think they could beat a goose. I'd love to hear you guys discuss the results of which animals you would back your chances to beat. Keep up the good work. Always a good laugh to keep me going through the week. Shannon from Perth. Now, I probably fall in between the lion and the goose.
Right, so, but I would very much like to see whether it's 70-30 towards one way or t'other, to be quite frank. I'm in a situation where I could probably do about 10 turtles if I had boots on.
But that's not a fist fight, is it?
Oh, fist fight. Geese don't have fists, do they?
Yeah, but he's going to peck you.
He's going to peck you, for crying out loud. Yeah, but what do you... So, hang on. Oh, so you'd have to punch... You would have to punch the goose in the face... to knock it out.
I guess the rules could be kind of established. But what I'm saying is you can't use any weapons.
Yeah.
And you're talking about hobnail boots already, you disgusting, cruel man. The first thing you think is hobnail boots.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just sort of thinking, like, if you're punching, it would be very hard to knock spark out a goose because the neck and the head is so flexible, it would absorb all of the
shock absorber.
Of the punches. You'd have to just do all body blows on it.
And I think we should also, because this happens quite a lot, completely
pull its wings out.
We get a lot of cruelty to animal people complaining about this show, even though we're clearly joking. And we're talking about probably, although it's hard, this is a hard sell when we're talking about a goose, it's a life or death situation. You've got to fight your way out of it. If it's a lion, I'm sure that someone said to me once that as part of a coming of age ceremony in some parts of Africa, certain teenage boys have to fight like certain animals and stuff, and it's terrifying.
Oh, right.
I don't know if it still goes on, but I've read it before. And if you are backed into a corner against a lion, I mean, you've got very, very slim hopes of getting out of that. You have to get very lucky.
But it's amazing, astonishing that, and I'm fairly certain the numbers change from males to females, and the males seem to genuinely think that they could beat. Like, so 1 in 10 people think that they can beat a lion.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
That's men who drink Monster energy drink and drive their cars
Monster
really
energy
fast.
Drink, go to a dojo, go to a dad dojo, all that.
Yeah. Have you speaking of like misplaced male confidence, have you seen that DJ Khaled video that came out this week?
Oh, Luke, you put that on the Ramble WhatsApp.
How good
fucking
is it?
Brilliant. He's just been given a freebie of a Bob Marley branded guitar. And I think they read out the card that came with it. Basically, DJ Khaled, you are a man who clearly enjoys, you know, the finer things in life, and you respect the work of Jamaica's greatest artist, Bob Marley. And here is a guitar that you know celebrates his life and work. And yeah, you know, it's just the family hawking a bit of merch, isn't it? But does he turn the camera and just sort of go, this is for Bob Marley, and then just fucking attacks the guitar with abandon, with not really kind of, not no chord patterns, no chord shapes. He plays it as if he can play the guitar, but he's clearly never picked up a guitar before in his life.
And he's staring down the barrel of the camera like he works in a music shop. I'm going to play it to you. I'm actually going to play it out, and we can edit this, and we'll get people to hear it. Let me play it out to you now. Hang on.
Lovely.
Get a close-up. Get a close-up. Get a close-up of the case, the guitar. You know what I'm saying? And a special note from the Marley family. Shout out to the Marley. Melissa, can you read this for me? Can you read this to the world, please?
Okay. DJ Khaled, we're excited to share this new guitar with you. As someone who has an appreciation for Bob Marley's life and music, we want you to be one of the first to play the Guild A20 Marley based on Bob's at-home songwriting guitar from 56 Hope Road. This guitar inspired songs that help unite the world, and we hope it gives you inspiration as well.
It's absolutely bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre. The confidence on display, if you could bottle that and sell it, the world would be an incredible place, because he is... So what I'm talking about here, there's nothing wrong with being confident. There's nothing wrong with believing in your own ability, right?
Yeah.
Of course, it's a big part of why people get up in the morning. You know, but this is a man who, you know... If you put him in a cockpit of a 747, he would tell you he could fly it, and he would try to fly it, and he would crash it, and he would kill everyone on board. And if he survived, he would tell you it wasn't his fault, and he would sincerely believe that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah, most people be given a guitar in front of an audience and they can't play it. It's their worst nightmare. He's taken that energy and he's just used it to his advantage, and he does not care what anyone thinks about him. It's an absolutely incredible thing. And the way he approaches it, I need to pick my words carefully here, he acts like he's almost got like no frame of reference for embarrassment. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
like embarrassment
can
happen to other people.
Yeah, you think, but I always, I think people are always surprised when, like, DJs and people who work in, like, the dance industry can play a bit. You know, they can play their own instruments and stuff, and they're musicians first and DJs second. You know, they've made their money being DJs, but they know their way around a tune, they know their way around a recording studio, and they certainly know their way around the instruments. It looks like DJ Khaled very much is not in that sphere. and it's just... amazing hubris with literally no skill to back it up.
Nah. I mean, I'll speak as someone who's actually heard his proper music, and I don't think that's that good.
So, no. I mean,
that gives you a frame of reference if you need one, but it's astonishing. It's absolutely incredible. Most people would have got that gift, probably posted a little video saying how pleased they were to receive it. Thanks very much to Bob Marley's family and the trust and whatever it is.
Yeah.
And put it away or given it away as a birthday present. He has not done that in any way. It's like if someone said to you, Pete, do you want to go out at halftime at a packed Old Trafford next weekend and show everyone your skills? You're probably going to say no.
Oh, it would be good content for the Rambler, wouldn't it?
I would be lobbying you all week to say yes, but I would understand if you said no. DJ Khaled would do it now, and he's probably never even seen a football before.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's a lot to learn from that.
Way somebody, one of the replies really made me laugh, was like, ah, oh, that sweet open H tuning.
Yeah. I saw someone saying the tuning he must be in, he must be dad shat. This is a real guitar joke. Anyway, let's get out of here, Pete. We've done our shift for this week, I think, and we hope everyone's enjoyed it, of course. Do leave us a review if you can. It was a really funny review that I shared on my Instagram, actually, earlier this week. And it was 5 stars, which is the most important thing, because we want other people to be able to find the show and enjoy it as well. Send us an email if you've got something to say. hello@lukeandpeacher.com. Keep those battery brands coming in. Keep those stories coming in. We'll read out our favourites as ever, and we'll see you next time. Pete, have a great weekend.
I will. I will have one.
Fucking order. That is an order.
Okay,
I'm ordering myself to have a great weekend too. And we'll speak to you again on Monday. Thank you very much indeed for listening. See you soon.
Peace.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.